We are glad you're here today. We're taking our Bibles to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. We're going to continue on this morning in our series here in Psalm 23. And I went to my little fridge in my office, and I cannot think of a bigger waste of anything than something like this. It's literally one swig of water, basically. And yet, do you know, think about this. They charge 5 cents for this, and they charge 5 cents for the bigger bottle. Now, we had an event at the park, and we do this because the thing is the kids waste it around here. I get it. But you can buy, at Sam's Club, you can buy a 40-pack of the regular ones, and this is a pack of 80. It's cheaper to buy a full-size bottle at Sam's Club, their brand, than to buy these little things. It's craziness. Isn't that crazy? It's crazy. And yet, here I go. It's just like soda. Why am I going to get a Dr. Pepper, this little 8-ounce mini can? That's like one drink. Give me the big gulp. That's what I want, you know. But when it's all you got and it's cold, it works just fine. You just got to take a little sip so it doesn't all go away. Psalm 23, we've been here for a while now, and we got a few weeks left here in Psalm 23. And I pray that this series has been a blessing to you and an encouragement to you. And today we're going to get to the next phrase here. We look at verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Verse 5, we looked at the beginning of it last week. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Today we look back at verse 5, and last week we looked at that phrase, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." And we know it's a metaphor. And one of the things I believe it symbolizes is God has laid out for us his word with every promise, and we can feast on his word. His word is the meat, it's the milk, it's the water, it's everything else in between, bread, and you can feast on it and get you through every battle you go through. Today we get to the next phrase, "Thou anointest my head with oil." What does that mean? How do we apply that to life 3,000 years after it was written? What can it mean for us today? And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Father, I pray you bless the next few minutes that we have today. You're an awesome, amazing, wonderful God, and thank you for the blessings you've given to us, and thank you for your working in our lives. And Lord, I pray you guide us and help us this morning as we look at this psalm and look at this phrase. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If your next door neighbor walked up to you at your door and took some oil and put it all over you and said, I anoint you king of the block, you'd be like, okay, that means nothing. Because the person who anoints you, that's really what matters, right? In Bible days in the Old Testament, there were three people who were anointed: priests, prophets, and kings. And the prophets would anoint the kings with Saul, David, so on and so forth. And we see that. We see in this verse that thou refers to God, the good shepherd. The good shepherd anoints my head with oil. When I was only pastoring a couple years here, and Rebecca got cancer. And I remember they came to our morning service, and when they were done, Peter and Rebecca said, "Hey, would you come over to our house and anoint Rebecca with oil?" And I hadn't done that before. It's a biblical thing. But they didn't teach me in Bible college how to anoint someone with oil. And my mom at our home church, when her arthritis got real bad, she got anointed with oil, but I wasn't in the room. So I didn't know what to do. So first thing, what do when you don't know how to do something? You go to Google, right? And so what do you use for anointing oil? And I looked it all up, and I thought I had figured out, kind of. So I went and got a lot of times olive oil is what would be used. And so I got that figured out. So I went to Peter and Rebecca's house. It was after church on a Sunday. And I know what, I had a plan, I thought, but I wasn't quite sure how to work this plan. And so all I remember is she was wearing a very nice white blouse. That's all I remember. That's what I remember about it. And I was thinking in my mind, how am I going to do this? And for some reason, what popped in my mind is on, you know, on Lion King, Rafiki, that monkey? And he takes that stuff and does a little. So I'm thinking, I'm going to pour it in my hand, get a little bit on the, and I don't know. That's what I just pictured I was going to do. Well, good old Brian, we all know how thick olive oil is, right? Well, for some reason, I thought it was way thicker than what I thought at that moment. So what happens is I poured some on my right hand, and it's oozing out and dripping out of my hand onto their carpet. And I'm like, I don't have a towel. I have it all figured out now. I'm much better now. So if you need this today, I can do a much better job than the first time I did it. But it's dripping from my hand onto their carpet a little bit. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. So what did I do? Let's pray. And I started praying and took my hand and thump right on her forehead. And as I'm praying, you can just see it running down her face, all over her blouse. The oil's getting everywhere. And I'm trying to pray and everything else. And, yeah, that's how the first time went. I have a lot of pastor friends now call me, and they're like, hey, how do you do that? And I'm like, well, let me tell you what not to do. Well, that's a good place to start. And God, over time, healed Rebecca. The oil didn't heal her. It symbolizes what the Lord was doing inside. And I learned my lesson that day. But, you know, you look at Rebecca, and she's not a young lady anymore. And you see, if you ever ask her why her face, her skin is so nice on her face, I'm almost sure it's that oil that I poured on her face almost 10 years ago. So if anybody wants that, I'll give you a facial with a bunch of oil in my hand. I don't know what I was thinking. I don't even know. You look back at some of the things you do, and you're like, why did you do it? And I don't know. So someone gave me a while back, they went to Israel, gave me some anointing oil. I got this right here. I've never used it. It's brand new. But I'll tell you this. I put more oil in my hand than this whole bottle at that time. Yeah. So I know you say, well, the pastor might be exaggerating. No, it was dripping down Rebecca's face. And you asked Rebecca, where's Rebecca at? I saw her a little bit ago. Ask Rebecca what she remembers about it. I've only got one track mind anyways. So I'm like trying to pray the spiritual prayer. But I'm thinking about all the oil dripping down her face and dripping everywhere. It was a mess. We'll just leave it at that. That's not how the Lord does it. He anoints our head with oil. What does that mean? How do we take that? How does God's goodness apply to our life with that today? You know, as we think about being anointed, and I just dropped that thing. That's good. Maybe I'm just not meant to do it. That might just be the thing. But I've done it a few other times, and it's turned out okay those times. So, and I bring a towel with me. That's a key. So if you ever do it, have a towel with you. And just keep it in your pocket. And I think I wiped it on there. I don't even know. Michael, do they have the same carpet in there? If they have the same carpet, look by the dining room table. Not the little table. Coffee table. And I bet right in front of that right there, there's probably spots on the floor. And it's from me still this long later. But anyways, I left a mark there so they would remember it forever. And I'll never forget it. Be anointed by God, what does that mean? It's something that happens internally that God does. Oil represents in the Bible the Holy Spirit of God. And the moment that we get saved, the Spirit of God comes upon us. And the Spirit of God doesn't leave us like it did in the Old Testament, because it is God who gives it to us, and Jesus has paid the sacrifice for us. You know, when we think about being anointed by God, God gives you abilities and things to do whatever job he calls you to do. Whatever task God has for your life, he equips you to do what he's called you to do. And God's called each of us to different things. Do you realize that? God has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for my life. And when he's got a purpose for us, he anoints us for that purpose and helps us in those areas. Sometimes people get anointed by people. In the Bible, that happened. And it was signifying that this is what God was doing. It was not, it's kind of like you think about baptism. Baptism doesn't save you. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward decision. So when someone anoints you with oil, it's an outward expression of what God's done on the inside already. That's what it symbolizes. Now, when we think about ourselves this morning, and we think about the work that God's trying to do in each of us, we need to realize something that the Bible tells in the book of Jeremiah, and it's not in your notes, but wow, things are just falling all over the place this morning. I mocked a little bottle of water, and look, it falls. So, anyways, yeah, well, I didn't have this problem last service. I don't know what it is this service. So, but anyways, I don't even know what I was saying before that happened. Jeremiah, thank you, babe. That's my wife. She helps me. She completes my sentences all the time, so it works out great for us. She wrote the sermon. That's why she knows where I'm going with it. So Jeremiah chapter 1, it talks about the fact that before God ever formed us, and it was about Jeremiah, God had a plan and a purpose and a calling on Jeremiah's life. And before God ever formed you, God had a plan, a purpose, and a calling on your life. He, in a way, anointed you and called you out to do whatever he's called you to do. When we think about an anointing, we think about the fact Jesus, his name, Jesus Christ. I had someone a while back think, yeah, I love Jesus' last name, Christ. No, that wasn't his last name. Some people think that. You know, like Brian Patterson, Jesus Christ. No, Christ means anointed in Greek. In Hebrew, Messiah, the anointed one. Jesus was appointed and anointed to be the Savior of the world. God called Jesus to that task. Now, God's children, he's anointed all of us and appointed each of us to do things. Your tasks are not the same as mine. Our tasks are all different. But at the end of the day, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, verse number 10, that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has a plan, God has a purpose, and God has an anointing on our lives today. Before you were ever born, he had a plan for you. Now, God's calling, God's anointing in our life, as that takes place, and as God does those things in our lives, I want you to understand something. You cannot do what God's called you to do in your own strength. There are many Christians that ever get tired in ministry and tired in the Christian life? Because you're trying to do it yourself. You're not letting God do it. You're doing it. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. An eagle is a heavier bird. An eagle isn't made to do this. It can, but if an eagle is doing this very long, the eagle's going to wear out, get tired. The Bible says, though, they that wait on the Lord, and you think about an eagle, if an eagle waits for the right air current, an eagle can soar through the air almost effortlessly if they just wait on the right wind current instead of flapping. But that's what we do in the Christian life. I got this, God, I'll figure this out. And you get all tired when you're supposed to let the Lord be your strength. Let the Lord help you through, because when the Lord calls you or puts his anointing on your life, which if you're a child of God today, his anointing's on your life. It's there. It's there. You've been anointed by God. You've been chosen by him to do some specific things that no one else can do. If God has a job and he gives us something to do, he always gives us the tools to do what he's called us to do. Has there ever been a time where maybe back when you were in school or at a job, they're like, we need this done, but we don't know how you're supposed to do it. Just get it done. Maria, the decorations, Maria Sandoval, the decorations for VBS. I remember a couple weeks ago we were talking, and I'm like, I don't know what you should do. I don't have a clue. There actually was a good idea that was given through it all, and that ship looks great. I love it. It's going to be a great decoration up here. But I didn't give her much to work with. I didn't give her the tool. I gave her, and I said, do it. That's not what the God does with us. He doesn't say, figure it out. God says, here's the tools. Here's everything you need to do what I've called you to do. Number one, as we look at the fact that he anoints us, we see number one that when God appoints me, he anoints me. When God appoints me, he anoints me. God never asks you to do something without providing you what you need to do it. When he gives you an assignment, he gives you everything you need to do the job that he's called you to do. He takes care of it. God's anointing comes with God's appointing. God's anointing on your life, he gives you the strength, the energy, the insights, everything you need to do what he called you to do. Remember the day he called me to pastor? August 17th, 2002. I was 17 years old. I was at a youth conference. And I remember I felt God's calling, and I'm like, no, I don't like speaking. If you know me very well and spend time around me, I don't like to talk. And you're like, you're a liar. Look at you talk right now. You're just talking, talking, talking. That's what a preacher does. He talks, 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 talks. That's not me. In a room of people, I like to be the guy sitting in the back corner, never talking to anyone. And not because I don't like people. That's just my thing. Like, after Sunday morning's done, after these three services, I go home and sit in my chair and try and get a little energy back so I can do it again tonight. Because people drain me. And that's my personality. Do you know how some people thrive on being around people? And they're like, oh, it's so wonderful to be with people, and I gotta be with someone all the time. And it's like, me, no, I don't need to be with anybody. Just leave me alone. No, and I think some of you could agree with that. You're kind of like that too. And I would be fine. That's just it's. But I do what I gotta do. But it drains me when I'm done. And I'm like, there's no way. God, you want me to preach and pastor? I don't even like talking. In high school, I had to give three speeches, and the speeches, everyone laughed in the middle of my speeches. No one, and I was being serious. And they all thought I was being the funny guy. I was not being funny. I mean, even in Bible college, I don't know how I passed a couple of my classes. Preaching, one and two, I was supposed to preach five or six times. I didn't preach one time. Say why? I was sick those days. Were you really sick? Yeah, I'm sick to my stomach and nervous, so I wasn't lying. Speech class, I got out of speech every time, the speeches. And man, that speech class, there were some very in that class, it was me with 12 other girls. That's all that class was. And I mean, they could have preached a great revival with those speeches they could give. And what do you do when it's your turn to give a speech? I didn't give a speech. I didn't do it. I remember my first message I ever preached in public after graduating from Bible college. It was at Caroline's home church. I worked months on this sermon. I had 12 to 15 pages of notes. My whole sermon was done in 7 minutes. And I took the next whatever time I had left, and I basically imparted all my Bible knowledge. And I was done in 10 minutes, 12 seconds. The people loved it. Do you know why they loved it? Not because the message was any good. It was a 10-minute sermon. How many of you, if I prayed right now and it was time to go, some of you would be like, praise the Lord. And you'd be, that's why they were excited, because of that. But I remember when God called me, and I told him no. Literally my life verse, I put it on your papers there, 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. If God calls you to something, God will enable you to do what he's called you to do. Pastoring, for an example. Every time I get up, I still get nervous. I still get worn out doing it. When I got up just a minute ago, and it's different now because we sing and then I go right into my message. When I got up, that final song, to sing that final song after the offering, literally I quote this verse in my mind. Here you go, Lord. You're going to have to do it again. Because if you called me to do it, you got to do it. And God will give you the tools you need to do what he's called you to do. That's what God does. He's going to help you. He anoints my head with oil. He gives me what I need to accomplish what he's called me to do. What has he called you to do today? He's given you the tools and he's anointed you to do what he's called you to do. The disciples, he had a job for them, didn't he? Bible says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. What was the job that God had for them? To be witnesses everywhere. What did God give them to accomplish the task? The Holy Spirit of God. You see how God gives you what you need to do what he's called you to do. That's the way God works. God will often give you an assignment that physically looks impossible. And God says, it might look impossible to you, but I'm going to help you do what I've called you to do. Number two, God's anointing makes me a better person. It grows me. It helps us. You might think in your life, well, I'm good now. There are none good. Right? That's what the Bible says. There's none good. Oh, I'm good. No, we're not. We're not good. Someday we will be good when we're with him. But we're all a work in progress today. But what happens is with God's anointing and God's calling and God's direction, the Spirit of God, it works from the inside and it comes out over time. There are many examples of this. Throughout the Bible, someone would get anointed for a task. Saul didn't think he could be king of Israel. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse number 1, then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head. See, I think I was being with Rebecca, I was being biblical. I poured all the oil on her head, almost. And kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? Saul didn't want the job, but Samuel says, God's called you to this, and this is what you're going to do. And look at verse 6 of the same passage. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. Look at that right there. Saul, God's called you to this. God's going to equip you to do it. Now, you got to understand, this is Old Testament. The Spirit of God would come and go from person to person based on how they lived. And Saul went from having the Spirit of God in him to having not quite a good spirit in him. Remember how David had to play the harp and different things because of the spirit that was inside of Saul during that time? We don't deal with that today. When Jesus cried out, it is finished, the Spirit of God, when you get saved, moves in and he will never leave you. He will never forsake you today. But do you notice how with Saul, Saul didn't feel adequate enough, and Samuel says, you're the guy God's chosen, and God's going to make you a better, turn you into a different man. Isn't that what God does over time? God takes, you say, well, I'm not competent enough. I don't know how I could ever do these things. When God anoints you or he calls you and he chooses you for something, he will change you into what you need to be. You go from the point. And I hear people say, Pastor, when you get behind the pulpit, you're very confident when you speak. I'm not a very confident speaker in myself. Say, well, what's the difference? I technically believe it's God working through me. Because if this were me up here, I wouldn't be doing this. I'd be sitting in the back row. What I used to do, I'd be running the sound in the back. It's what I used to do at my home church. That would be me. I didn't want to do this. When I was young, I wanted to do this. When I was a kid. And then I became a teenager. When you're a teenager, it's like you see all the flaws in yourself and everyone else. Like all the dreaming and all the hopes and all these things, that kind of goes out the window. And it's like you see your flaws, you see the flaws in everyone else. That's why the best thing a teenager needs from their parents today is parents who are not ones that say one thing and live another way. They need to be real for their kids. What they see at home, they need to see their mom and dad everywhere they go. That's what they need. Because teenagers pick up on that quick. They can be a hypocrite, but they point out the hypocrite in everybody else very quick. And you were all teenagers once, you know. So as a teenager, going from where I felt I wanted to preach, as a teenager, it's like, no, I can't. I can't speak in front of people. That's not me. Like, so, in all honesty, and my kids, and William's in here. Sorry to pick on you, William. William's not very talkative. For his sixth grade gift last year, we always give a little funny gift. And I gave him a book on how to conversation starters. That was the little joke. Any of you try to carry on a conversation along with William, you have to drag it out of him. You can have David all day long. David will talk your ear off. Alyssa and Matthew's his own kid, but William, he doesn't talk much. That was me. A lot of people think, oh, you were like David. I was not David. My son David, I was not. William, that's me to a T. And as a teenager, you think, there's no way. How in the world am I going to stand in front of a group of people and find the words to say and be able to do it when I can't even carry on a conversation with anybody? God's got to do it. And when God calls you to do something, he does it for you. He gives you the tools. Say, I don't feel competent. That's the best thing in the world. Because when we feel, it's amazing to me that, like, for myself, what God's called me to do, he didn't put me in my comfort zone. He took me out of my comfort zone. You say, well, why did God? I think I know why God does that. Because there are many times when we're in our comfort zone that we're like, I got this. I can do this. And that's when you get in trouble. Why, when God puts you out of your comfort zone, you know what you constantly say? God, I need you. I can't do this without you. I need your help. I need your anointing. I need you. That's why God puts you in those positions. Because without him, we can do nothing. We need him. We need his help in our lives. Number three this morning, God's anointing makes difficult tasks easier. Because you're not doing it in your own strength. You're doing it in the power of God. The difference between serving God in your own strength and serving God in his strength, there's no comparison in the two. And Paul prayed this for the church at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Look what it says here. To be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Paul says, I want you, and those verses around there say, I want you to understand and get a grip on the love of God, the breadth, the length, the depth of it. And that he would grant you those, and that be strengthened. Do you see, we need to be strengthened in the inner man. And there's only one who can strengthen the inner man. It's the Spirit of God. That was his prayer for those in Ephesus. Do you realize this morning, my resources are limited, my energy is limited, my knowledge is limited, my wisdom's limited, my talent's limited, and so it's forever that way for all of us in here. But do you realize this morning, God's ability is not limited, his power's not limited, his resources aren't limited, he is limitless in all that he does. How do you know when you're doing the Christian life with God's help, when you're doing it on your own? How worn out are you? Ministry doesn't really change. It's always tough. The difference between doing it in your own strength and doing it in the Lord's strength, how do you know? Is it wearing you down? Or are you okay in the midst of everything going on? That's a key. Because if you're doing it in your own strength, you're going to get worn down. You know, we always say,
what was it a couple weeks ago, Caroline? We're like, summer's here, nice break. Summer's almost halfway over. Another week it'll be halfway over. And, you know, you always think, oh, summer will be here. We're going to get so much done, and it's going to be so great, and summer flies by, and none of the stuff gets done. And it's always going to be that way. That's just the way life is. You think you got all these plans, going to clean the garage, going to do this, going to do that, and then the summer's basically gone, and none of it happens. Right? And I know several of you, same boat. Ministry, oh, ministry's going to get easier. What I do is going to get, it's not going to get easier. In fact, I'm thinking and noticing in my own life, it's only getting harder today than what it was 13, 14 years ago when I started pastoring. It's only getting worse. So how do you make it and how do you stay in the midst of it? Are you doing it with your strength or the Lord's strength? You need his help. You need his strength. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Not some things, not a few fun things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Number four, God's anointing makes the impossible possible. God can do stuff with you that you never thought you'd be able to do. Bible says in Luke 18:27, it says, and he said the things, look what it says there, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Say, I can't. And God says, you can't. But hello, I can. But I can't. Yes, you can't. But with God, you can. You can do all things. Not in yourself, but in Christ, you can do all things. You can do all things. You can make it through. Bible says in Ephesians 3:21, my favorite verse in the Bible, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. It doesn't say he can just do it. It says he can do it exceedingly. And not just exceedingly, but abundantly and above all that we ask and think. It's like three or four times even more than what you can even fathom God can do. Look what it says. According to the power that worketh in us. That anointing. You got saved, that anointing was given to you. That power's there. And you can do things you never... I can't get along with people. I hear people say that one often. You can! Yeah, you can! Just talking to someone the other day. Like, I just can't. I just can't. You can't. But you have the anointing. So you can. Not more I could say there, but I'll keep moving on. Number five. God anoints my life to bless others. You weren't given the Spirit of God and the anointing and the calling on your life to sit on it and do nothing with it. You were given it to bless others with it. We should be a channel of blessing, right? God's blessings, God's anointing, God's calling on your life should flow through to others. God's blessings on your life, it should just flow to someone else and they should see that. God didn't give you the blessings for you to enjoy for yourself. Oh, God's given me this talent and ability. I'm going to do nothing with it. God called me to pastor. It would be a shame for me to take the calling that God's given me and not use it. God's given you a calling. And yours might not be to be a pastor, but you've got a calling on your life. And your calling's just as important as the calling that I have on my life. Are you taking the calling that God's given you and doing anything with it, or are you just doing nothing with it? I love this passage in Isaiah chapter number 61. And Jesus quoted this, and we'll look at Jesus quoting it in a few minutes. Look what it says, Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath appointed me to sit down and do nothing with the anointing and the Spirit he's given me. No, he's anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for their spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Isaiah says, the Spirit of God's upon me, he's anointed me, and we know there's a prophecy. We'll look at that in just a minute being fulfilled. But that he was anointed and the Spirit of God on him to bless others with that, right? So what did Jesus say in Luke chapter number 4? His shortest sermon he ever preached. And probably the one that they hated the most. He's in the synagogue and he gets the scroll of Isaiah. And he's seeing what Isaiah penned. And he's reading it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach to the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. God's anointed me. The Spirit's upon me. He's anointed me to do this for people. And you know what Jesus said right after that? Today, this is fulfilled. And he closed it. The best mic drop ever. That was the best mic drop moment ever. And they, did he just say what he, I think he said? And he did. But God anoints you and calls you, not for you to keep that to yourself, but for you to bless others with it. Listen to what it says about Jesus in Acts 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Look at what it says. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. What did Jesus do with his anointing? He went about doing good. He went around blessing others. God gives you a calling and anoints you for you not to sit on it and to bless yourself, but to give it to others. And number six and lastly this morning, but don't get your shoes back on yet. We just get to point six. There's a lot of verses here. We'll be here a few more minutes. For every new challenge, I need a fresh anointing. I remember when the Lord called me to pastor, like I said, August 17th, 2002. I was at a youth conference at a church in L.A., and the preacher that preached the message ended up being the chancellor of the college I went to. And the message was entitled, Reasons Not to Get in Ministry. That was the title of the message. I remember it exactly. I remember God's calling. I remember all of it. But 22 years later, I can't live on that anointing to get me through today. I need it each day. Like the children of Israel in the wilderness, they couldn't store up manna for the next month. There was one day they could get it for 2 days because of the Sabbath day, but they had to get the manna every day. I can't live on an anointing from years ago because I'm not going to keep doing what God's called me to do if I'm living on what God gave me 22 years ago. I need it today. One of my the college where I went to, one of my favorite messages that Jack Hiles ever preached, and I still haven't listened to it in a while, and I need to go back and listen. I love that fresh oil. That was my favorite Jack Hiles message. And I always, anytime you see, when you're going down a road and you see the little sign in the construction, fresh oil, it always reminds me of that. Because I need a fresh oil. I need a fresh anointing. I need it for today, to get through today. Because our hearts are prone to get hard over time. Do you realize that? And people and circumstances and ministry will wear you down. You feel like you're going to give up. You need that anointing. It's what the Lord was telling the children of Israel through Hosea. Hosea chapter number 10, verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Look what it says here. Break up your fallow ground. For it's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Fallow ground, you go on a hike. And that area where everyone walks that literally is smashed down and there's nothing growing out of it, it's because it's just dried out. You know how in the New Testament Jesus gave the parable about the sower sowing seed? And he said some went by the wayside and the birds ate it up. The wayside, fallow ground, it's the same thing. A farmer has to, with the ground that they have their crops in, they have to break it up. They rototill it or do whatever. And in the Christian life, there must be times in our lives where we go through, and it could be a daily thing, it could be every once in a while, but we need that fresh, we gotta take that hard ground and break it up. and seek the Lord and keep going after God so God can bring that. And God, the Spirit doesn't leave us, but we are prone to wander. Isn't that what the song says? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We're the ones who need the fresh oil. We're the ones who need the fresh anointing. And if I'm living off of when God called me 22 years ago to preach, pastoring today, I'm not going to make it much further. I wouldn't have made it to this point. I can't live off of that from 20. I need it today. When I got in the poll, I needed it this morning. I need it at the next service coming up. I need it tonight. I need it next week. I need it. I need it. I need that fresh anointing. I need that fresh oil in my life. It's what God wants to do. And when's the last time you got to work? And when you're sitting in your car before you went to work, Lord, I need that anointing today. I need you to help me. When's the last time you got up to go to school? And I know school's out for many right now. But you're getting there and school's where, Lord, I just need your filling. I need your anointing in my life today. When's the last time you pulled into your driveway at home before you go in with your family and said, God, I need that fresh anointing. I need you to, I need it today. I need your help. I need, because a lot of times we have not because we ask not. Or we don't ask for the right things. We ask amiss, as the scriptures say. The Bible tells us in Psalm 84:11, it says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And I know you say, well, if I walk uprightly, then God will not withhold any good thing from me. The moment you got saved, you started walking uprightly. You can't earn it. It would no longer be grace if you could earn it. As in a class a couple weeks ago, we were talking through a book, and it's like, if you do this, you can have God's grace. It's like, no, if I do, how do I get more of God's grace? You do this, and it's like, that's not how grace works. If you have to do something to get grace, it ceases to be grace. Because that's not what grace is. But God will help you. I love one of my favorite Old Testament, and I'm already, last service we're already done. I'm going longer for some reason. Probably knocking the water off. It just took a few extra seconds. One of my favorite Old Testament characters in the Bible is Joseph. Did you notice that whatever happened to him? I think we got one verse up on the screen from chapter 39, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. He's a slave in Egypt, and the Lord made him to prosper. Later on, he goes to prison, and what does the Bible say? The Lord made him to prosper. He had an excellent spirit. We could look at Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had an excellent spirit in them. What did they have? They had an anointing on them, which you and I have today. God wants to help you prosper in your business, in your family, in your ministry, in whatever you do. Let him help you. How could Joseph go through all that he did and still find joy and still seek the Lord? It had to be the Lord. How could Paul say, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, sing in a jail cell to be content, or rejoice in the Lord always, or the things he said, being shipwrecked three times, being beaten so many times, and all those things? It's something supernatural that God did in them through the anointing that he gave them, that he's given you and me today. And I'm not Pentecostal on you today when I say that. We also see that, what did Jesus do? And when we talk about, I mentioned earlier about anointing people with oil. And there are some people that get carried away with that. And what does the Bible say about it? The Bible tells us in James chapter 5, this is where this passage comes from. It says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. The elders, those are the pastors. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now Rebecca was healed. God healed her of her cancer. Me anointing her with oil didn't heal her. Look what the next thing says. the prayer of faith shall heal the shall save the sick. Now, it's interesting. It doesn't say heal. It says save. And the Lord shall raise him up. You see, it's the Lord that does it. So I might take the oil and pray over you with the oil, but it's not the oil and the man doing it that does anything. It's your faith in God, and God's the one who heals or saves them from it. Because we don't get to choose who God heals and who he doesn't. Because let me just tell you this. You see people out there, these faith healers that are out there, if they are real, then they need to go to every children's hospital anywhere in the world and heal all those kids. But, you know, they'll say, well, you just didn't have enough faith. That's why you weren't healed. God's the one who heals. And for Rebecca, praise God that the Lord healed her the way he did. But there are others that he healed by taking to heaven. And we don't get to choose how God does that. Man, David, it's a miracle today hearing all they did to you. And last week I talked to you on the phone, and you're like telling me all these things that happened. I'm like, his brain's working after all that stuff they did in his head. He's even telling me today they found nothing up there. And so, no, I'm just kidding. They found something there. There's a brain there. But it's a miracle what God's done in you right now. And God's the one who does it. He's the one who decides. But look at what it says there. It says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God is able, and God has anointed each of us. His calling is on your life. If you're his child today, you've been anointed by God. And he didn't physically do like they did in the Old Testament and bring out a bottle of oil and pour it over your head. No, when you got saved, he poured his Holy Spirit all over you to help you do what he's called you to do.